we've made a wrong turn, and we are on a cross-country trip from Chicago to San Diego. And Courtney has picked up a hitchhiker that looks a lot like Rucker Howard. This is the Wrong Turn Podcast. Hey, Courtney, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Not bad, not bad. It is still summer, and we are...
Yes.
What else would go with summer other than summer slashers at camp? We decided to do a road trip movie this time.
Yes, yes. That's definitely in the summer realms. And also, it's finally actually hot.
Yes.
I don't know. It finally actually feels really fucking hot now.
Yeah, like I cut off all my hair. And
oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
I haven't seen you in a minute.
Cold all the time now. And I was like, it's just like every once in a while I'll do it just to like, especially when it gets hot and then might just grow it out. It just gets expensive after a while to like keep paying somebody to cut my hair. And my hair grows fast. Yeah,
haircuts are expensive.
So like it only looks fairly, you know, good, you know, for like a week.
It's okay.
So... in the spirit of road trip movies, there aren't a lot of horror road trip movies. There are a couple, and I think Courtney brought up one. Like one was called like Dead End.
Joyride, I think, famously is one that I know well, and I know that one has a couple sequels. But Joyride, as if you remember, has Paul Walker in it, who was famous from the Fast and the Furious franchise. Well, R.I.P. to him.
I could also say One Wrong Turn is a road trip movie, but we've already tackled those.
Aren't they all though? Like in a way,
except for the like Frozen,
except for the fucking Arctic one. I mean, which is like what I mean. They're all my favorite. They all go in and out of being my favorite depending on my mood. But in theory, the Wrong Turn movies are kind of all like road trip movies, and like they take a wrong turn.
But
that's the point.
All right, just real quick, I'm just gonna go on a side tangent about Wrong Turn. Yeah. Like I like how the Wrong Turn movies went super out there. Like they went Fast and Furious level out there before Fast and Furious franchise. I'm just saying.
They sure did.
Yeah, like they got They're to the Arctic bonkers. Way before Fast and Furious.
Arctic. Yeah. I also love that each one is just like a completely different storyline, and like the gist of it is just that they have to take a wrong turn, and I love that.
Yeah. Like, and that's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
Speaking of Joyride, though, I could not say that Joyride wouldn't have walked or wouldn't have run if this movie that we're going to talk about today hadn't walked.
100%.
So this is one of the OG road trip horror road trip
OG.
Movies. 1986, The Hitcher, a gritty fucking horror thriller for sure. Like it is hard to make fun of this one, so we're just gonna talk about it.
It is. So we're probably kind of breeze through this one, and like as always, we will kind of have it on the background to like keep us in check. But you are correct. I had never seen this before, but this movie rules. And then it also made me realize that, like you said, like this movie walked so all the other ones could run. Like this is exactly the thing that you talk about when your parents are like, don't pick up hitchhikers or when anyone tells you not to do that.
I don't know. I mean, like don't fucking ballsy if you pick up a hitchhiker, but you're by yourself on a road trip, you know?
Like, exactly. And to me, I don't know. I was like, yeah, obviously you would never do that. But my mom is so funny. I remember her telling me, she goes, yo, I used to hitchhike around all the time when I was a teenager. You didn't think about it.
But like what? Like in crazy. Wisconsin? Like, sorry, Minnesota?
In Minnesota. Sorry. No, in Minnesota. Yeah, she was just fucking wandering around. I don't know.
That's
different times. This is the 70s.
I know. But like, yeah, the 60s and 70s is when it was like super popular. And even like in the 20s when like after the Depression and like people were super poor, but like Yeah, like now it's just unheard of. Like, were you just like, yeah, I'm not getting in a car with a stranger, like ever. Like, you'd be fucking crazy.
No, and of course you would never pick one up on a rainy night, even though, of course, you would kind of feel bad for the person.
On the rainiest of nights that ever
fucking. On the rainiest of nights. He is funny right away when he like gets in that car with him. He's just like, I am all wet. It's like, yeah, we know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you can tell me if you see if. If you see, like, you feel like those undertones were there, I didn't see any undertones, like any gay undertones.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Roger Ebert was just like fucking furious because he said this movie is rife with it. And I'm like, dude, I think you're projecting.
Are you sure? I'm just going to say, I think you're fucking projecting, bro.
I think you're projecting a little bit. Like, no, like, this isn't Freddy 2, where it's obvious, but like I'm not seeing anything here.
No, I didn't get that. And I think, I mean, I'm pretty queer coded as they come for being a straight girl, but, no, I did not really get any kind of queer undertones from these two.
And your radar's on point. You can pick it up, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so can you. Like, so I think that's funny. I think that guy's just fucking projecting. Like, he wanted them to fucking blow each other.
Sorry. He fucking wanted those guys to
He wanted it.
Oh, yeah, because I guess that might have been another, like, urban legend too about it, right? Like, oh yeah, these guys are always hanging out on the side of the road picking up other dudes, yeah, having a good
I have heard that in the gay community, that like there are areas like rest stops and things like that that are known. They are known, and they're talked amongst one another in the gay community, that yes, you do sort of, oh, there's a special word for it. I can't remember the top of my head right now, but
pick up.
Yeah, it's a thing. Pick up. There's another word for it. Cruise. That's it. You do kind of cruise these areas because it is known. But again, I don't really get that in this. Like, I kind of just get that we have our lead character played by, you mentioned it, the one and only.
Well, yeah, our main baddie from Blade Runner, John.
Yeah.
Who plays John Ryder, Rucker Howard.
Who rules. And I just think that this guy is like, and the way he acts and everything, his performance just delivers you this like stone cold dude who's like, yeah, I just kill people to fucking kill people.
Dude, that's who I am. Fucking intense. It was like,
yeah, all he wants is, this is what I got overall vibe of this, is that I do believe that he's just kind of tired of the killing, but he's not going to kill himself. So that is why he starts just pestering C. Thomas Howell, AKA, Jim, is his Halsey. Name, is his character Jim, yeah. Let's just call him Jim. Just terrorizing Jim, because there's so many opportunities in this film that he could have easily just killed Jim, but he doesn't.
Oh yeah,
he's like, no, I want you to like come after me. He's like, I want to terrorize you, just because this guy's a psycho, I guess. That's what I kind of got from it. Like, he just wants to terrorize this kid because this guy's a kid. He's like fresh out doing his like. And so that's why we get this guy who's really naive and almost a little bit unlikable in some ways. But I don't know. Maybe that's just kind of his performance, too.
Yeah. Just, yeah, he's a little wet behind the ears because he is a kid, and you know, maybe he isn't supposed to be the most well-rounded character. You don't get much on his backstory. All you know is that he wants to go from Chicago to California, and apparently there used to be this system where you could just drive somebody's car across country and you only had to pay for gas, and then they paid for, you know, it was basically a free ride.
Yeah, and I believe that. That's something I totally would have fucking done 100%. If I would have been alive.
It's the equivalent of walking somebody's dog, you know? Like,
yes, literally. Oh, you just pay me to get there? Cool.
100%. And, you know, so, all right. But no, I totally agree with you. And they say these names, John Ryder and Jim Halsey, the two leads of, they say their names constantly. So you are,
I know,
super familiar. By the end of the movie, you are super familiar, like, who these people are. It's basically a cast of three people.
Yes. It's Jim, John, and then Nash.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Jennifer Nash. Jason, okay. Lee, I just remember her name. Yeah.
So then,
and basically the whole movie is Jim versus John, and then Nash is just kind of like this damsel in distress.
Well, I guess Jim is trying to survive, basically, and he just it's less that the Jim is trying to, Jim isn't really trying to fight John up only until the end, really. And like you said, he just pushes. John pushes Jim.
Just pushes.
Pushes. He just, he's trying to break him, essentially. And I don't even know if it's like this whole, I do think that Rucker Howard's character was suicidal. And he just wanted to die.
Yes.
And he was just,
I do believe that.
He was trying to, I don't know, either die by a cop or just try to push somebody far enough to have them kill him. But then he comes across Jim Halsey, fucking Pony Boy from The Outsiders. And then just, he's like, he's the only person that fights back for a second. And then all of a sudden, John Ryder's like, I found my fucking dude. And I'm not going to let him go until I fucking break him and he fucking kills me.
Yeah. And I agree with that. Like, that's how I felt about this film, too, where I was like, he found someone that he was like, I'm just going to fuck with this one until he kills me. Yeah. Like, he's got like this like little like he's so fresh and bright eyed because he's so young. He's just like, yeah. I don't know. Like, he's like, I'm going to fuck with this guy because it's fun. But I agree with you where he's like, I'm ready to like die.
Fucks with him so fucking hard. Like, it's
so hard. It's like endless.
It's so, that's what makes it so fucking good. Cause he's basically a fucking supervillain. Like, he is everywhere at once for some reason. Like, I mean, you could sort of, it's physically, like, for the way they do it, like, you could see how it's physically possible.
It's impossible. Yes, you can see that. I've read some reviews of people saying that it was hard for them to believe this, but I like it.
Oh.
I know he's not supernatural because he's still a human, but I like it.
Yeah. Like, he takes a gunshot, he's down. Like, that's it. End of movie. Yeah. Spoiler alert for a movie that is 38 years old. But yeah.
Exactly. Again, yeah. Like, we're here, we're going to spoil it, but it's been around, and like, it took me this long to watch it, but I'm glad I did. I really liked it.
No, I mean, because I think it's because sometimes people describe it more as a thriller and less of a horror movie, but it is fucking horrific. And
it is.
And then some people also describe it as an action movie. And I want to feel like this is definitely super inspired by the action movies of the 80s, like fucking explosions galore. Like, I think this is. I don't want to say it's where it lost people. I don't think so at all because like, all right, out of the they do have a trifecta of people that worked on this movie. They have Robert Harmon, who, I mean, hasn't done much in the last, you know, couple decades or so, but he's done a lot of action movies. Tom Selleck, straight to video action movies for some reason. So I'm like, I guess the guy likes to direct action. And then be like, oh yeah, I guess that makes sense because this is straight up an action movie with like sprinkling of fucking horrific stuff, which is what kind of makes really some horror movies really good. They don't give you a lot of horror, but they give you like small parts of really good horrific things, right?
Right.
Then we have Eric Red, who went on to write a couple like of really notable fucking movies. Blue Steel with Jamie Lee Curtis, which I know is like maybe not the best movie, but it's pretty well known. And he wrote fucking Near Dark, which is another kind of fucking desert movie. So like, Eric Red has like some pretty fucking big bangers under his fucking belt. Not to mention John Seal, who is the cinematographer. That's the other thing. This fucking movie is fucking gorgeous. Way this fucking, like, if you, like I said, I love my fucking frames. And
me too.
I've paused this movie a couple of times. There's some fucking great shots in this fucking movie. And not even like the obvious ones where, like, you know, you have like, you know, Jim Halsey really small and the desert's really big all around him. Like, there's some also really, really good composition shots throughout this fucking movie. And not to mention John Seal is like an Academy Award winning cinematographer. I think he's worked on like some of the fucking biggest movies that have like come across films in the last few decades.
And I did read that really quickly. I don't know how many awards he's won, but that he was like a very dignified cinematographer before doing this, directing this. And I was like, oh yeah, I could tell that immediately. Like, when I read that, I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just based on like the shots that he delivers in this.
It's great. Like, he made like a very simple movie of two guys against each other, and he made it fucking beautiful.
And what's the budget on this? Do you have it up?
Budget was $8 million.
I can look it up. And what did it make back?
barely six.
Oh, bummer.
It made, all right, so that was the other thing I wanted to mention. Thank you for the segue. It was it opened in like 800 theaters. Anybody who worked on this movie, any producers that came across this fucking movie, they fucking loved the script. They thought it was fucking amazing. They did want to tone back some of the horrific elements because I think we get a pretty clear like script to movie adaptation, except for like I think they held back some of the gore and they changed up a couple of things, which is fine. But like even then, even for this movie, it is toned down because you and me have watched it. The horror is what you don't see in this movie. Like everything we're only getting the aftermath and what Jim Halsey sees. And it is like, just as bad as any kill scene in any other slasher movie.
Of course it is. Like right away, one of the first, or basically the first one, is that he kills a family. Like obviously we do not see it, but there were children.
They start off with killing two fucking kids.
Two kids. You kill a family right away. As soon as Jim kicks him out of the fucking car and John's like, all right, I've met my match, or I met the guy that I'm going to like terrorize here. Kills a family right away. Like that's not subtle.
No, it's not subtle. But wait,
at all.
We're digressing real quick.
Before okay, sorry.
But
sorry.
So like you said, it only made back opening. I think it originally made 3 million or 2 point something. And then I eventually made like almost six, but this is what it fucking competed with against in the month of fucking February 1986. The Color Purple,
okay.
Jewel of the Nile, which is the sequel to Romancing the Stone, Out of Africa, FX, which is like, you know, like a weird action FX movie, Delta Force, Rocky IV, Brazil, Iron Eagle, 9.5 Weeks, fucking Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Back to the Future, the cave, the Clan of the Cave Bear. Like this is all in the same month.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, for that month.
What a time to be alive.
So maybe not everybody was rushing to see the fucking movie where the two kids got killed in the first 10 minutes. Like I get it.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I'm sorry. You had Back to the Future. You had fucking Rocky IV.
Fucking Rocky. Yeah, all right. Fucking Back to the Future? Yeah, nobody's watching fucking Hitcher.
No, I'm sorry. I will be at Back to the Future. So sorry, the Hitcher.
Yeah, Freddy 2? Like
Freddy 2? Yeah, okay. Especially if you are a horror fan. If you're a horror fan, you're already going back for Freddy 2. Yeah,
exactly.
So, I get it.
Yeah, all right. So,
tough lineup. But great movie. Anyway, yes, that's moving forward.
Moving forward, everybody loves this movie. Ratings are 91% by Google users, which are just people like you and me. Rotten Tomatoes, 64. And then IMDb rates it 7.2 out of 10, which I think might be, for us, the highest rated movie we've done on this podcast.
So far.
Oh, no.
I think
Blair Witch, right?
Death. Is Blair Witch up there? Maybe.
Blair Witch has
to be up there. And I was going to say, it has to be up there. But I was going to say also Death Becomes Her, because even though that is like kind of rated middle, I think you and I both agreed that it's such a good movie where we couldn't even like make fun of it in a way.
Oh,
we were
no,
this is so great that it maybe not is the best for our podcast because we tend to like go for the ones that are middle of the road just so we have that room to be silly. But yeah, this is another one where when I watched it, I was like, this is really good.
Yeah, I was really surprised. And like I said, I think I already mentioned it twice. One of those movies that I heard about like over the years and like, oh yeah.
Yeah, me too. And I just never watched it.
Yeah. And yeah, I just came across it. We needed something for the theme and it hit perfectly. So
I know. And then we were both like so surprised. And I was like, man, it makes me want to go watch Joyride. And even like the little parts where it's like almost like, I know Jeepers Creepers was based off like a different event, but there's a little bit of that in there too, which they Jeepers Creepers might have like take or took in whatever.
Oh, taken. Yeah, we could. Jeepers Creepers is also like a cult classic now. So it's like, it's kind of, and everybody knows about it now. So like, I don't feel like everybody knows about this one.
Correct.
Yeah.
But just like in some of the scenes where John is coming up behind Jim, where you're kind of like, oh, like Jeepers Creepers might have kind of taken that right there. Like,
All right. So we're going to get into the movie. Like I said, we'll play it out in the background just so we can skim through it. But we will spoil this movie for you. Yeah. Anything. Oh, the only other thing I wanted to mention about the movie was like, Michael Bay produced the remake, I think, in like 2006. And like any of those early, I guess it was like the high time when everything was getting remade, right? Everything was having a gritty
Michael
reboot.
Bay. Yeah.
Everything was having a gritty reboot. I have not seen it. And bootcut jeans. And yeah.
But if it's Michael Bay, I bet it was not my favorite. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean,
not my favorite guy. Not my favorite guy.
It was
when it comes to movies.
Yeah. So, I mean, nobody's really talked about it, but it does star Sean Bean of Game of Thrones season one and Black Death fame. He plays our John Ryder, and then Jim Halsey's driving a Mustang and he's going on spring break with his girlfriend who plays Grace and not Nash. But instead of Jim Halsey, it's the female, it's kind of like in the protagonist lead, Grace.
Right. Which I do like. I like that they would have put a woman instead. But again, I haven't seen it, so I guess I can't really comment.
But it just kind of misses, like, I mean, would you need a shot for shot remake? Like, I understand, like, you could have this premise of this guy.
Of course, you can have this premise. Yes.
But you don't need to do it on a road trip, or you don't need to do the exact same, I don't know, setup almost, like shot for shot or you know, scenario by scenario up until you get to the end. I'm like, you could have just done this differently.
Correct. And I saw a lot of people, at least what I read as reviews go, that like saying again, like, we didn't need it. Like, we really didn't need that remake, Michael Bay. Like,
no. And it's not even like not even a gritty reboot.
It's not even great. Exactly. I'm like, you didn't even make it better. Isn't that the like intention? Like, when people do the remakes, I always think like, oh, you loved the original so much that you wanted to put your take on it. That's fine. But then you just like get a shitty one. You're like, okay, all right.
And then there was a sequel to The Hitcher 2, Hitch Again. It's called, I don't know what the fuck, it's just The Hitcher 2. And it does star C. Thomas Howell as Jim Halsey again. Like, what would be the chances that, like, in your lifetime, you pick up two fucking homicidal fucking hitchhikers? Like, yeah. If you pick up also, one, I'm never picking up one ever again.
Exactly. I was like, he learned nothing from the first one, apparently. Maybe he's like, maybe my karma this time. No, dude, stop picking up hitchhikers.
So we start off the movie at nighttime with our boy Jim Halsey, Pony Boy from The Outsiders, like I said. And I can't even make fun of like their names. I can't call Rucker Howard Batty from fucking Blade Runner throughout the movie because they're just so well known as Jim Halsey and fucking John Ryder. So like I said.
So we'll just Jim and John it is.
Jim and John. And like we said, Jim is driving across country in a right away across country from Chicago to San Diego, where he will leave off the car, and then he gets to live his dreams by living in sunny California, right? And then it's a rainy night, and then he sees a hitchhiker by the side of the road, and it is John Ryder, and immediately fucking picks him up, which, like you said, don't fucking do. You know?
Yeah.
At least
but
within the
again, this is the 80s, so I feel like it was much more like, yeah, whatever, I'm just helping this guy out, because apparently everyone does that in this movie.
Well, it's even he says it, right? He's just like, my mom told me never to do this.
I'm like, yeah.
But he's fallen asleep at the wheel. He almost got hit in a car accident, so he's like, maybe this guy will help me.
I need the company. Yeah,
I need to talk. Yeah. One thing that helps me on a road trip, either eating ice or chewing gum all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if I'm driving, I mean, have you ever driven really tired though? That's so dangerous. So I get like having a person to talk to would be, I know it's so bad. Like I did that, back last year. I did it when I drove up to my parents. It's a 3-hour drive. And I was like, I was too tired to do that. No. I knew. I was like, I should not have done that.
No, I've done it. I've done it driving like a 22-foot truck. Like I've done it like going, especially like leaving work and going home, like after a long shift, like driving on the highway. I'm like, and then you're being stuck in traffic. And for some reason, my like, I don't know, you have a car seat or your driver's seat. You've been in that thing hundreds of times. Maybe 300 times in a year or more, right? Like you, there's barely mm-hmm. one day goes by where you're not in your car. That seat has your groove in it. That is your most comfortable seat.
Yeah.
And anytime you might, it like, knows you. You can easily fall asleep in your driver's seat. No fucking problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it just has.
And the thing is about, or I just wanted to say, like, at least in my experience with driving very tired, is you don't really realize that you're falling asleep. That's the scary part. Is like it really sneaks up on you.
Yeah, fair. Real life horror.
And that's why I'm like, real life horror. I'm like, I can tell you full force. I was like, I should not have driven. Like, I was this close to falling asleep while driving. Not okay.
Not okay. Immediately, John Ryder here has given us real fucking creepy vibes by just saying some just like fucking fragmented sentences like, I'm getting your car all wet.
Yeah, that made me laugh. I was like, yeah, okay.
And then telling him, asking him where he needs to go, and then saying like, I need to go to a gas station. And it's like, gas stations have cigarettes. And he's just like, and they also have gas. He's like, I don't need gas. And I'm like, you thought you said you just needed gas. I'm like, it would creep me the fuck out too, actually.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Jim knows that he's like in a bit of a predicament. And he wants this fucking guy to fucking leave his car, and he won't. All of a sudden, John Ryder pulls a knife on him, and he asks him if he wants to die. And he starts creeping him out. Really, what is he asking? He tells him like if he's ever seen like blood splurt out of an eye. Like he's trying to fucking terrorize fucking Jim Halsey here, and really establishing what we expect from John Ryder.
Yeah, that he's clearly. A fucking psycho.
Oh, yeah.
In the best way.
In the best way.
In the best way. I love a killer that it's like, we don't need any, like, you know how we always like, oh, what's his process? Like, why is, like, who hurt him? Why is he doing this? We don't get that ever in this. We're just like, this guy, killer, end of. That's all he does. Like, no matter who crosses his path, he's like, you're done. Except for Jim, because he has chosen Jim.
I mean, I like to imagine like a falling down situation where like, you know, his fucking life is, he just fucking had it, you know, lost his fucking house.
We don't get any of that.
You know, like, yeah. It's like easy to imagine he just went off the fucking rails and he just started murdering people. You know, it's hard to imagine that, or at least for me, it's hard to imagine like he was always a killer. I just think that for me, this is like a spree killer sort of a deal and not so much of a serial killer. Like he's just going off, going boom, 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 boom. I'm going to see how many people I can take out. Before somebody stops me.
Yeah, like you said, him knowing like, you know what, I want to die. I'm trying to get someone to kill me. So here I go. I'm going after it. Either it's going to be this guy's killing me or the cops are killing me.
Yeah. But I don't even think he wants the cops to kill him. So like,
yeah, just, I don't think so either. It's like Jim must kill me.
Yeah. Like that's so weird. That's so fucking bizarre.
It is weird.
It's the fucking,
it is bizarre like that. It's like, huh?
It gives me very Joker vibes. Like this is like my perfect description of what like a good.
Yeah. John's very Joker-esque.
Oh, 100%. Like, cause he's got the smile. But he's got that sort of menacing thing and he doesn't really care what he does. And he's terrorizing, you know, Jim Halsey, which is the craziest thing is that he's terrorizing him because he's trying to push him so far. And I know we're just going around in circles, but like, fuck this movie, you know,
you go ahead.
John reveals that he's going to try to kill Jim. And he pulls out a switchblade knife and they come across mm-hmm. a construction site and then they get pulled over and the construction workers are just shooting the shit, asking them where they're going. Then John Ryder has the switchblade up to Jim's crotch and the construction worker sees it and assumes that these guys are just getting frisky with each other on the side of the road. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
You know? And then it being, you know, the homophobic 1980s, you know, the construction workers right. just like, yeah, I don't want to see this. You guys just move on along, right?
Okay, yeah, one scene.
But
one scene that maybe there was a bit of a gay undertone, but Jesus Christ does not make the movie.
Yeah, but Rooker or John Ryder just uses it to his advantage to just basically get some privacy or just basically get shoot on through the stop zone. Right after this is where we really get like the clear description. Basically, we get John Ryder's motivation. He asks Jim to like just repeat four words, say, I want to die. And you could see it in his face as he repeats the words.
Yes.
He's like, I want to die, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not telling him to repeat it. He's just saying it. For me, he's saying it for himself. And he's not.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, he's not telling Jim to say it. He's just repeating the words. And then
yeah,
fucking Jim grabs up his fucking big boy shorts and he actually pushes John out the car, which is,
yeah,
I don't know if that's actually physically possible, but whatever.
But this is what you were saying about, like, hey, I found this kid who's going to fight back. And he did. But I love John getting up and like giving this like long stare as like Jim drives away. And he's just like, I'm going to come get you, motherfucker.
I'm like, and that's it. Like, after that moment, he's like, I think, does he smirk? I think, does he give like a little?
Yeah, it's like a little, like, he's like, yes, like challenge accepted kind of thing.
He's like, you want to live? He's like, all right, I don't want to die. Yeah. Yeah. So then Jim Halsey's fucking elated. He escaped near death.
Yes, he did. So he's like thrilled.
Immediately, I was like, why aren't you going to just put that car in reverse and just fucking run over that fucking dude? Right. Like, I feel like anybody would have been like, you're fine for committing, you know, manslaughter. Or was it automotive manslaughter just by fucking running over that dude? I think he would have been fine. But yeah. So
yeah,
it's the next morning and Jin's driven through the night. And then there is a car coming around him. And then we see the two kids in the background just shooting at Jim Halsey. And he's just sort of playing as he's just happy to have a little interaction on the road. And then we notice that John Ryder's in the back with the fucking kids. And we're just like, oh, fuck. Right.
Yeah. I like that he is hiding behind a teddy bear. Like, that was a really good like reveal.
Oh, my God. And for some reason, everybody on the side of the road, everybody who's on this fucking road picks up hitchhikers, because we've only seen
that's what
like,
I meant. When I was like, everyone's really kind.
Yeah.
This movie.
Especially if you have kids. I'm not fucking putting a stranger
like,
next
no,
to my fucking
hard,
kid.
No, if I have my child in the car, any child, I'm going to be like, we're not picking up a hitchhiker.
Let alone two children. This family has two children and a fucking boat, and they decided to let a fucking stranger they picked up on the side of the road sit next to their fucking kids. Get the fuck
Well, and you know, I already fucking said it. Guess what happened to this family?
Guess what happened? Yeah, they get murdered.
Again, we don't see it, which is part of the best of this, like the part of the horror and the thriller of this is you don't see it, because personally don't want to see dead kids. But just the thought of it is like so disturbing.
It's fucking horrific. The Jim Halsey basically gets sideswiped by a bus, gets stuck on the side of the road for a second, and then loses the family with the boat. Eventually, they fade out, and eventually he catches up to him. So you don't know if it's like been like an hour or like 10 minutes, but then all you see is a car on the side of the road, and Jim Halsey walks up to it, and he just starts throwing the fuck up as blood fucking seeps out of the car door. This is 1986, right? So like, was there the trope that you don't kill kids yet? Like, kids and dogs were sad. There was a dog. Was there a dog? So was the dog dead too?
No, wait. Did they have a dog?
I'm not sure.
If they had a dog, I completely missed it. Maybe you're correct. Maybe we're still in a time in the 80s where it was like, it's okay.
It's okay to
like,
kill kids.
It's scary. And I mean, I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, maybe. I guess it's an 80s. It was the 80s. I'm just going to give it a pass for that.
Yeah. So I think we are introduced. Oh no, it gets really surreal after this. And this is where I I'm noticing like after this, I'm like, oh, this movie is really, really interesting, because Jim Halsey comes across an abandoned gas station, and then he comes across John Ryder again, who's already there waiting for him. And like,
in the garage of the gas station.
In like, the abandoned gas station, already there waiting for him. And then what does he do? He tosses him his own car keys, because fucking Jim wasn't fucking paying attention. And he doesn't say anything. He just leaves him fucking alone. And then John just walks away really quickly and gets in another car. He gets picked up by a truck this time. And we're like, fuck me, dude. Like, do these people not fucking understand? Like, you don't pick up a fucking hitchhiker in 1986. Yeah.
That's what I say. I'm like, everyone in this movie is so kind. Just picking up this
so
hitchhiker.
And it leaves them dead.
And dead.
Because at this point, we got, you know, bearing the lead, the truck driver that picks him up also dies, right? But we don't see that one. Or actually,
no.
actually do have a theory now.
You just get a lot of blood. We get a lot of blood.
But like these moments are really surreal because it's just Jim walking by himself in a fucking desert. There's nobody around and there's just abandoned gas station. And it's just kind of surreal where like you are familiar with these things, but there's nobody around. You expect it to be full of people and there's nothing. Right. So in this world, it's just Jim and fucking John. And then
I like that. Oh, 100%. I think they nailed this like creepy ass ghost town that you do see when you are traveling across the desert in middle America.
Yeah.
You like it's a long stretches like that. I don't think everyone is deserted as they picture it, but I like it. And I like that we're just he's the only one knows that the John's his fucking psycho killer and is after him.
Well, that's the only reason like I was kind of like believing that they kept catching up to each other because like, oh, they're going in a straight line, whatever the state road.
Right. There's nowhere else to go.
Yeah. There's nowhere else to go. Yeah. Eventually I'm going to catch up to John or Jim. Cause it's just like, it's on this road. I either got to wait for him or got to catch up to him.
I mean, obviously this isn't Highway 66,
it is.
But it's like, it's that it correct. It 100% is. But like, that's the idea. Like it's just one road. There's one road that they put in the middle of this fucking country. That's the only thing you can do.
I think this was shot in West Texas. And I think it was also inspired by Eric Red's time. I think he was driving from New York to Texas. And he was.
All right, so it is Highway 66. Yeah, it actually. So, you guys, just so you know, that there are stretches of Highway 66 that it looks like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You have to be prepared and you have to make sure that you have all of your like water and supplies and gas and stuff just because you don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, that's why it always weirded me, like, especially like the first few cars I had. I never wanted to drive up like outside of my immediate town because I didn't know if my car was going to last. I don't want to be stuck on the side of the fucking road and call for fucking help. Like that's a lot scary.
And you know me, I don't like driving as it is. Like I have anxiety around it anyway, just because it's not so much. I know I'm a good driver, but everyone else, I'm like, I have no control over these people. And most people suck at driving.
So as Jim Halsey leaves the abandoned gas station, he has another run-in with John as he catches up to him and starts giving him a little bit of fender bender, starts messing with him, playing tag. And then he's able to I guess, lose John in some sort of sand dunes. And then he just runs off to the next gas station, which apparently also seems to be abandoned. But this one looks a lot more livelier. Like there does look like somebody's supposed to be working there. But Jim can't seem to get anybody to help him because everybody seems to be missing. And this is where he runs into John the third or fourth time as he's already there again.
Fourth now? Yeah.
And
he's already there.
He Kool-Aids man through the fucking garage door and he fucking runs over all the fucking gas station pumps and decides to play a little bit of fucking matchstick men as he fucking throws in a live match.
Match, lights a match, sets everything on fire. So I guess we're supposed to think that he's possibly killing all these people before Jim shows up.
Oh, yeah. Well, he definitely killed the guy in the truck that he got, you know?
Well, yes. Yeah. But as far as like the restaurant or maybe goes, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, because then you could say that there was supposed to be somebody there.
There was supposed to be people there, but like John beat him to it.
Yeah. So like
kind of thing.
And that's just John like thinking one step ahead. He's just like, what is he going to do? He's going to go to the next possible place and call for help. And he's going to tell cops about me. So what I can do, I got to get there first and kill anybody who was there. I mean, if that's the case, then. So we have the gas station attendant. We have the guy in the truck. We have the family of four. That's six. And then we also know that there was a guy in a VW bug in the beginning of the movie.
Yes, in the very beginning.
So that's which seven we don't know so what, far. That yeah. we So we know fucking John's one bad fucking dude. And then we're finally introduced to Nash as she lives somewhere across Route 66 and she is taking a bus to work, which I guess you would take a Greyhound to work back then, I guess, you know, if there's,
perhaps
if you're working out in the middle of nowhere,
I guess
we're like, yeah, I guess.
I guess we have to believe that there's no choice.
But this is where I was kind of like,
what's that bus schedule like for her?
Oh,
Jesus
yeah,
Christ. Like, if she has to be at that restaurant every single day, that's where do you live, girl? but you know, whatever.
Yeah, she just, I mean, even then, I also, like, when we were driving to Vegas, we saw some small towns on the way there, like these, yeah, these in between places that are just like a town of like, what, a few thousand people. And like, they probably work in the next big town over. Like, it's that's bonkers.
I am 100% all about the no car life. However, for Nash here, I feel like she should probably invest in getting a car.
Maybe she's trying to work up to it, you know?
Maybe she is. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, I appreciate her taking the bus nonetheless.
Yeah. So she works at the Longhorn Cafe and Grill on the side of the road, Route 66. And Jim Halsey, barely escaping with his life from the burned down gas station, shows up out of nowhere and frantically asks to be let in, but they're not open yet. She decides to be nice to him, lets him in. He's probably fucking reeking of gas. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, she says it. She's just like, you stink. She does let him in. Again, there's some kind people on this stretch of Highway 66.
I mean, maybe that's like a thing,
I would not have. If I were alone in a restaurant opening it and that guy, I would be like, no, you can't come in.
Oh, any store I've worked at, like any place I've worked at, there always has to be two people present at all times.
Of course, yeah. Exactly. For those reasons, I think we're all trained like that now. But again, this is the 80s.
It's the 80s.
The 80s.
So Jim calls the cops and he's real fucking polite. He's like, dude, I got something to tell you. Please show up. And then he's like, even so polite to say, yes, I'll stay right here, sir. And I'm like, dude, he's just a kid. He gets cleaned up in the bathroom, and this is what kind of fucking blows my mind. Nash decides to make him a fucking burger and fries because she takes pity on him, and he's just sitting there, and he doesn't mention anything that's happened in the last 12 hours or doesn't mention the 7 people that are probably been murdered and he's come across. So Jim Halsey's seen some fucking shit, and he doesn't say a goddamn fucking word to Nash, where I'm like, you could have been like, right, there's a killer on the loose. You need to fucking lock this place down. Like, where the fuck is
like,
the
like, let her know. Be like, hey, like, I'm pretty sure this guy just murdered 8 people. We need to lock the door and call the cops. Like, help me, please.
Yeah. I got that on the second viewing where I'm like.
I agree. It took me that time, too. I was just like, wait a second. Why did he say anything to her? I'm
like, and then we get one of the best scenes in the movie as he's quiet, contemplating everything that's fucking happening. He's kind of fucking zoning out, waiting for the cops to show up as he's eating his burger and fries. And then he accidentally puts a fry in his mouth and realizes it's not a fry, but a human fucking finger. And then he freaks the fuck out and starts to throw up as the cops arrive. And I'm like, fuck, that's crazy. Like, at one point I'm like,
we see him throw up a few times.
Yeah, it's true. He hasn't in the last day, he hasn't had any food.
Just bile. Yeah, he's and water.
Drinking water. Ooh. And coffee. He's thrown up twice. It's a good look. Some good looking
one
fries.
French fry. I was gonna say, yo, those steak fries look legit.
Oh, 100%. And I love it how just like Jennifer Jason Leigh just smoking a cigarette as he's just eating right in front of him. Just
yep. The 80s. Oh, you could do it.
But I'm like, dude, that means he's inside. For me, it was like John Ryder's
he's
inside.
He's already there.
He
was there before Nash got there.
How the fuck, you know?
How the fuck? That's like the supernatural part. We're like, how the fuck is this guy doing that? He's putting severed fingers in the French fries.
They could have gone that way. Like there could have been a fucking weird element where I think it would have cheapened the movie a little bit if they gone supernatural with it. But
I like that they didn't.
Yeah, but it still could have been like a cult classic regardless because of the way it looks and the fucking dialogue and the acting. Like it's fucking awesome. I think the finger is the truck driver that was in the truck that he's currently in, because he rides that truck for like the rest of the movie up until the cops show up as he's throwing up. They arrest Jim and he's like, it's not me. Lo and behold, apparently John has planted his infamous knife with the ivory handle in the coat pocket of his jacket. But then you're like, when the fuck did he do that? For me, he did it when he gave him his keys.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I can see that for sure.
Yeah. Because they give you a reason like, oh, there was a moment where he was in his car by himself. The fact that he had the foresight to like plant a knife on him, like,
yo, this killer John is the most efficient serial killer, and I love that. Dude,
he's efficient, he's fucking smart, he's fucking like, he's playing 4D chess. He's like way too many moves ahead.
So sorry, Jim, you're not getting out of this alive. He wanted to die. That's your reason why you survived.
Oh yeah, the only reason you're surviving is because he let you fucking live. That's the other thing too.
He let you fucking live. Yes, he let you live. Oh. Like, he could have offed you like that.
I haven't seen a whole lot of movies where like the guy, the our main antagonist wants to fucking die. And he's just
chaotic evil the whole time.
Oh, 100%.
Chaotic evil.
And I haven't seen a movie like this. Like, maybe I have, but like nothing comes to mind. And I'm like, fuck, this is good. And like, yeah, that's all we can keep saying. We can't even make fun of it. Like I said,
I know you guys, you can't even make fun of it, because I think Edgar and I both landed. We were like texting each other, and I was like, wait a minute, this movie's good?
Fuck. Question mark. What are we going to say?
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? So Jim.
How are we going to be silly?
So Jim's at the police station being interrogated by the cast of fucking Dukes of Hazzard here.
And yes, the guy mustache ride. Guy has a killer mustache.
And Jim's just spouting off all the fucking phone numbers he knows. Like, there's got to be somebody to fucking call. It's the weekend.
His brother, his mom, his dad.
Yeah, brother's whatever. Not picking up, unfortunately. And I would have been so upset if my family didn't pick up the phone and I'm calling them from jail. I'm like...
Yeah, well, I know for sure my mom probably wouldn't answer the phone. Sorry, Mom. But, you know, I feel like my dad would answer the phone.
I actually did that. Actually, I had a family member was calling me from jail. And it was like the one night I decided to just like, oh, I'm getting drunk and I'm turning off my phone. And I'm like, nobody's calling me tonight. Like, and it's the one night somebody called me from jail. And I'm like, oh, shit. Part of the reason you should probably never turn off your phone. But that was like kind of scary. I'm like, fuck, now I can never turn off my phone. Like,
which we never do. At least like, no one in society now turns off their phone. I don't think so. We have to consciously choose to ignore people these days.
Yeah. I choose not to talk to you.
I am choosing to ignore you,
mother.
Sorry. I mean, no, for the most part, but there are times when you're like, you see a text come through and you just have to mentally be like, I cannot answer that right now.
Yeah,
like,
that's fair.
You know, have to do it at end of day.
It's funny because we wanted to be connected and we wanted all this fucking accessibility and all this fucking technology in our hands. And then we just decide not to fucking use it, or not to engage, because we're fucking exhausted, you know?
Yeah, we are overwhelmed. It's thank like, you. Okay, that's the word. Yeah.
We get to another surreal fucking moment, which I fucking love that this movie's fucking, you know, sprinkled in with here. He's in the jail cell. Obviously, the cops are holding him in until they can get some answers. The cops know, like, dude, this isn't our guy. He's just a fucking kid. He's about to fucking start crying. Jim has a dream of basically the night before of fucking Rucker Howard and the knife and whatnot. And then he wakes up and then he notices that his jail cell is open. This is where, like I said, this is the nice surreal part where it's just eerily quiet. I don't even think there's music playing. I think like the music comes in like steadily later after like the horror is unrevealed. But then like all of a sudden he's walking down the hall and there's just like a dog appears. And for like a second, you're
the German Shepherd.
Is he still dreaming?
Yeah.
And that's what I love. I'm like, those little moments, they didn't have to do any of that shit, but it just made the movie.
I just want to agree with you. That's all. Like, I just think it's so chilling that they made it that way. Like, whether it was purpose or not, that it was that quiet. And yet he goes upstairs and realizes that what happened?
Everybody,
John murdered everyone.
Everybody dead. Everybody's
dead. And you're just like, once again, you're like, this guy is so fucking efficient. Like, what is he?
Yeah, like Rucker Howard, John Ryder took out fucking four cops in the police station. And it seems like he slashed all of their throats. So I'm like, he single-handedly murdered everybody in combat, I guess. I don't know how, which is great. And we don't need to know how.
Which is great.
Because adds to his fucking mystery. And all we get is Jim Halsey freaking the fuck out, going for a gun. that he finds. The first gun he sees, mind you, there's probably fucking guns everywhere in the fucking police department.
Yeah. You'd think.
And then just hears the sirens as he runs. Oh, he comes across the third abandoned gas station. I'm like, there's a lot of abandoned gas stations on Route 66, apparently.
But again, abandoned, or has John already murdered everyone? Fair. Who knows? At this point, who the fuck knows?
He gets the drop on two police officers, and I was like, really? Like, shit, you're about to shit your pants a fucking minute ago. Now, all of a sudden, you're fucking commando here. And you're telling the cops what to do. So he's able to kidnap these cops, get in the back of their seat and ride along as he tries to get somebody on the radio and basically explain his situation. And he actually does the right thing. He's not a bad, dare I say, like fucking final girl, where he's trying to do the right thing. And he's just like, yeah, I'm going to turn myself in because what other option do I have? You know?
Yes. And I agree. He's just being smart as he can about it
out of fucking nowhere, which I thought was so fucking spectacular. As he's saying that, I'm going to come in or I'll turn myself in, fucking John Ryder shows up in the black truck again out of fucking nowhere in the same scene. So it's shot fucking beautifully. And then all of a sudden just shoots the two fucking cops point blank.
Boom, boom,
boom. So now we're at what? 11 deaths? Oh no. We were at 7, no. Then we had 4 cops. We had
3,
11,
3 cops in the
13, 3 cops, 3 or 4
station,
cops.
And then these 2, 3, 4 cops in the police station, and then these 2 on top of that. So like, what are we at, 12 now?
I think we're at 13 right now. 13? Maybe. Or 14, I could be wrong.
And once again, you see the shot that John has, and you just have to go remind yourself that, like, Jim could be dead within seconds, but he's choosing not to kill him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He could have shot you. Yeah, because apparently John Ryder's also a really good fucking shot and takes out 2 cops with 2 fucking bullets.
Of course.
In a moving car.
I expect nothing less.
I expect nothing less. You know? And then he just drives off, leaving fucking Jim to fucking deal with the cops, which is also great.
They're like, deal with it. Yeah. That's amazing.
Explain that.
They're like,
to
I
the
just
cops,
killed these 2 cops. Now deal with this car flying off the road. They dead bodies in the front.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's not like, that's so tricky.
Fucking great. I've been saying that a lot. I'm like a fucking repeat. I fucking love it. And I love it because Jim Halsey is so fucking defeated. He keeps going for help and he keeps getting put in these fucking awful situations. And I understand what he's sort of feeling right now, because anybody he's come across has fucking died because of John. And I feel also because of him. So I think he might feel guilty that all these 12 people, aside from the VW bug, are kind of on his hands, apparently, because he could have stopped him in the beginning of the movie by running over him if he wanted to. And he's losing his fucking shit at this point. He's fucking crying and he tries to commit suicide, but he doesn't pull through it because what? He's not fucking there yet. He hasn't been pushed that far, but he's almost there. And I feel like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. And then in the next scene between him and Jim and John scene, where they're sitting at the booth. Jesus fucking Christ. Like, John is the creepiest dude and I love it. I love it.
Fun fact, Rutger Howard actually did intimidate and scare C. Thomas Howell.
Oh, I feel that. You could feel that in this.
Rutger Howard wasn't the original cast for this. They had gone with a bunch of other guys, very notable actors who have been like villains in all sorts of fucking movies. But then the weird one that kind of stood out, who was actually tied to this movie, was Sam Elliott, which...
Ooh.
Which I would never...
I can see that.
Yeah, that would have been really
I
weird.
Can actually see it. It would have been weird, but you have young Sam Elliott. You have a 1980s Sam Elliott.
But I mean, like,
I'm thinking like Roadhouse Sam
still
Elliott.
Some gray there, but like that presence, but like him as a villain, that would have been weird. And then Rutger Howard was who just happened to be in Los Angeles reading for something. And they went with him because he just had a fucking crazy, crazy presence about him. And he wasn't trying to do any more villains. But he read the script and he's just like, this is fucking crazy good.
He's like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it is crazy good. And he's so fantastic. like chills at that scene. Oh, yeah. At the booth.
Jim comes across another diner. I forgot what this one was called. This one was called the
Roy's
Diner. And it's some great fucking like roadside fucking sign art. I fucking love it. Just looking at these.
I love that. I love the old school 1950s, 1960s signs like that. Yeah. Love it.
And then you sort of see, like, again, Jim doesn't say anything that's happened in the last 24 hours to, like, there's a killer on the loose, call the fucking cops, like, we need to fucking lock the door, which is what he should be saying, right? He's just letting...
Right, he just, yes.
He's kind of fucking losing it, and you sort of, like, maybe he's kind of... There was theories where some people online were saying that, like, John Ryder was trying to make him...
I read that. Make him, like, the next serial killer.
Basically. And you sort of get that here a little bit, where like the waiter is asking him what's wrong with him, like, or what happened to him. And he's like, nothing happened to me, but he's fucking covered in blood and dirt. And I'm like,
But as like as a guy working there, you'd be like, suspicious man.
Yeah, tell the Roy restaurant what's going on. Like,
Roy, do we need to call the cops, even though they're all dead, and we don't know that?
Yeah, which is. Again, fucking crazy, but John's already there. Like, at this point,
John's already there.
And he sits down at the fucking booth, and they have a great fucking dialogue. We're not even going to fucking do it justice.
We don't have to get into it. No. But basically, in a nutshell, chilling as fuck. And Jim actually attempts to kill John under the table with the gun, realizing that John has already taken out the bullets.
Fuck me, dude. Again, what the fuck?
What is that about? Like, what? Like, how many steps ahead is he? It's so wild.
Like, it's spectacular. Sorry. Continue.
It's incredible. But that's just and is this where the kind of the moment where you're kind of thinking, at least what other people are thinking, that like maybe he is trying to get Jim to like be this killer? Because what's the kind of like the ultimatum he gives him? Like, you're gonna go onto this bus, like,
no, he just, unless you saw like a different version than I did, he was kind of egging him on a little bit. And he was just like, you got to squeeze the trigger, you know, you got to squeeze the trigger. And he just kind of scares him. And then Jim just starts shooting off the blank gun, like blindly closing his eyes. And then John just kind of starts cracking up. Well, it doesn't start cracking up, but he's just like, oh, you're so cute, you know, like.
Yeah, that part. Oh, you sweet little thing.
You sweet little thing. You're like, he's like, you're almost there. You're like, he's pushing him. And then he asks him what he wants. And this is like one of the most infamous lines of the movie. He's like, you're a smart kid, you figure it out. He just says, later he says that, but at this point he just says, you're a smart kid, figure it out. And I guess fucking Jim isn't the smartest fucking guy, because he still doesn't fucking figure it out. But he does do the classic pennies on the eyes to cross the river of sticks, which is a symbol for death.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's just trying to get him like, you need to fucking kill me, basically. And then he gives him the bullets.
He gives him the bullets.
Because now he's like, you shot off a gun, here are the bullets, now you can do
it. Basically, you got your test, like you got like you that the people do, where you're like, you're supposed to like shoot a blank gun, get a feel for it. Like, here are the bullets. Haven't you ever heard that?
That's interesting. No, that makes more sense though. But he needed to know that he could shoot off the gun. And he tried to kill him in fucking public. Right. So like, if the gun was loaded.
He
like,
did it. It was already in his mind because he thought it was loaded.
Yeah.
So he already was gonna do it in theory.
Fair. So, but then again, it's just fucking John fucking with him. I guess the Greyhound bus from earlier that dropped off Nash, and I guess her shift is over, has pulled into Roy's motel cafe. And then
that's the only weird thing in this movie, is like, what the fuck is this bus schedule like?
It's so fucking weird. But I mean, like, I guess like, people that didn't have cars had to get from, you know, one part to another.
Of course,
right?
They did.
And if we were just going from like, you know, small town to small town,
from town to town, I guess maybe they're only maybe a few minutes apart.
Like, if it's like a 20 minute drive down the road, like, you're only paying what, a couple bucks even back then, you know? Like, it's based on the distance, right? Like, for those Greyhound
I would
buses.
Think so.
The But what got me is like this outside shot from like, it's the same booth, but a different guy is sitting in it and this guy doing his fucking taxes or some shit. And I've watched it over and over again. And I'm like, what is this fucking guy doing? He just pulls out a file and he just starts doing fucking calculations on a calculator. And I'm just like, what is he calculating?
It's Roy.
I need to know.
He's getting the taxes done. Yeah. I need to know immediately.
I just like,
he's
just
Roy. He's going through the sales.
Yeah. Like what the fuck? All right. And I hate fucking tinted glasses, like tinted prescription glasses. I fucking hate them. So yeah,
they are lame.
Jim's on the bus in the bathroom. He decides to load up the gun and he just kind of has the revelation to himself. Just like, oh shit, now it's fucking real, because he doesn't even know how to open up the gun. It's just reiterated that he is fucking wet behind the ears. And he needs to fucking man up. And the bus pulls out of Roy's motel cafe. And then you see John follow it. So now we know.
In the truck.
They're still.
Love it. Yeah.
Now it's like, there has to be something there. Like that has to mean something. All of a sudden we start to see that now he is trailing them for, I guess, supposed to be maybe the last time.
Yeah. It's like, maybe it's like, oh yeah, Jim's not actually crazy. Like this guy's like really lost it and is after him. Maybe. I don't know.
There was I had a theory in my head for a while. Like maybe Jim was crazy and he was doing all the killings himself.
Yeah, I thought that too. Yeah, that could have been like the twist or something. But yeah.
Yeah, it would have been super fun. I wouldn't have mind that, you know. But then again, it cheapens what we got. Like, there's just some other guy who wants to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jim figures out, Jim finds Nash on the bus. Tries to tell Nash the truth and that there's somebody else that's killing everybody and it's not him, but he decides to do it as he fucking pulls a gun on her. He's like, hey, I need you to listen to me. I'm not the guy that's killing everybody, as I fucking point this gun at your fucking head.
Hopefully you can hear the cops are coming right now. Sorry if you can hear sirens in the background, but she is like, Nash is just so trusting from the beginning. But I guess she's supposed to be like this, the emotional connection in this movie, perhaps.
Yeah, I could see that. Or like the one person that believes him, you know, because without him.
Yeah.
Without her.
She is the one person that believes him. Yeah.
But then again, it's just like one of these things that if she hadn't come across him, spoiler alert, Nash doesn't walk away from this fucking film in one piece.
Correct.
Like the. Mm-hmm. If she hadn't been there, she would still be alive. But it also, if she hadn't been there, he'd be fucking dead, because the cops pull up to the Greyhound bus and they know he's on it. They have him come out and he's just like, I'm going to turn myself in for the third time. And he's just like, it's the only thing I have to fucking do again, because he's only trying to do the right thing.
I guess he's just like betting on like the whole innocent before proven guilty kind of thing. Like maybe in his head, he's like, hopefully I can have a trial. Like, how are you getting out of this?
Well, I mean, like, all right. So they did find the blade on him, but it wouldn't have his fingerprints on him, right? So like, how would you be able to prove that? Essentially, you would have somebody else's fingerprints on it, but it is found in your coat. So it's a little bit tricky. If you had a good lawyer, maybe you'd be able to fucking pull that off. But other than that, there is nothing else tying him to any of the other murder scenes, other than he might have been at every location.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, well, you were at every location, but we cannot prove that you actually did anything. Yeah.
And it's really slick with this. This cop has a fucking giant chip on his fucking shoulder and he's just holding the gun to Jim. And he's telling him, like, you spit on my wrist. I want you to clean it off. Essentially trying to make it look like Jim is going for the gun so he can shoot him in front of everybody. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. This fucking, like, and Jim knows. All of a sudden, Jim is fucking smart and knows that if he fucking tries to touch him, he will fucking die. But, like, he stated in the beginning of this movie, he doesn't want to die. And then this is where Nash comes in and saves him as she gets the drop on the fucking two cops. Apparently all these cops are really easy to fucking kidnap and fucking, you know.
Yeah. I mean, small town sheriffs, maybe they're not that great. It's just whoever really could be there that day.
Yeah. She sneaks up behind them and she's got the gun that Jim dropped earlier, which is now loaded, we know, and tells them to put their guns down as they get into the cop's car and they drive off. And then it's like, this is where
chase.
Yeah, this is where the chase scene comes. And this is where, like I said, action movie through and through. Like,
yes, 100%. Yeah,
we got guns left and
right. You get jam-packed full of action.
But then it's like the same thing. How the fuck is, how the fuck is he going to get out of this? Because it is not looking good for them. He is not an action hero, which is like the only difference Correct. This has between action movies is that he does not look good in any of these scenes. He does not look heroic at all. He looks like he's getting
you're not cool.
You're getting your ass fucking handed to you. And the moment he convinces Nash to shoot back, she drops the fucking gun because she gets startled by the gunshot. Like,
of course. And as you would, if you don't know how to shoot a gun, yeah, it's very jarring.
Oh yeah. And I love it. She's just like, I dropped the gun.
That's the one part you can make fun of. Old Nash. Oopsies. I dropped it. And then you're like, what the fuck?
maybe he was just trying to get her to shoot the gun so like they'd back the fuck off because they are coming at them hard. They're coming at them with fucking shotguns.
Yes.
The car is getting shot up to fucking shit. Like it is getting really, really fucking close. And then I guess he's able to pull off a fucking Mr. Magoo by braking and having the one cop car shoot the other one, start to fucking barrel roll, and then it hits the other car, and then both cars are out of fucking commission. So he didn't need John's.
He got lucky.
He got super lucky.
He got lucky.
Yeah.
That's all I think happened there. He got lucky.
But it's kind of great because at this point,
cool
John's
scene.
Never.
Cool scene, though.
Sorry, Jim's never shot a gun. Like he's not our fucking hero, you know?
Yeah.
He's just trying to survive, which is great.
He's just trying to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But then
you do get an amazing shot of all these cop cars barrel rolling down the street. That's all. Go right ahead.
No. But then we get the fucking mini boss of the fucking cop helicopter, and it has an AK-47, and now they're really getting their ass fucking handed to them. And this is where John Ryder comes to save the day as he decides to take out a fucking car, a helicopter with a fucking 38 special, which I'm like, is that possible?
For John, it is. He's invincible.
Yeah. But this is where,
who knows?
This is where Nash actually first sees John Ryder. And then she knows that he isn't, that Jim isn't full of shit. I dropped the gun. Sorry.
Which. I dropped the gun.
That's when she asks the question after John Ryder shoots the fucking helicopter out of the fucking sky, which is a fucking bonkers fucking statement. And she's like, why didn't he fucking kill us? He had every right to fucking kill us. And he's like, I don't know. I don't know what he wants. Yada, yada, yada. And then they end up at the motel. And then we get to our third act, pretty much. Oh, no. We get to I feel like this is the first half of the third act, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just making sure I didn't miss anything here. But no, that's pretty much it. I just love the fact that John is just like, yeah, let me just take out this helicopter real quick.
That's when I was like,
John.
It's the 80s.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It's the 80s.
Yeah, it's the 80s. You could back then you could take out a helicopter with the fucking.
Yeah, you 30. Sure could.
The cop has a fucking AK. Like he should have been able to realize where the shots were coming from. Whatever, regardless. So I don't even know how many cops is at this point. What are we at, 15, 16?
Yeah, because we had a couple more chasing them with the helicopter, and I'm just assuming that John just knocked them all out. Like, you know, he didn't have time for this.
So,
trying to get Jim to kill him, for Christ's sake.
So they leave, like I said, they leave the cop car on the side of the road because it's not the most inconspicuous car, and then they decide to get a motel for the night. As we just kind of flash forward to the motel and it's nighttime, and they're sort of having a little bit of a moment as he retells how he picked him up, and he's just like, I should have never fucking done it. And he's like, yeah, maybe you're right. And he's trying to get Nash to basically not call her family because he's just like, no phone calls. And they have a little bit of a moment, but not really a romance is sort of blooming, so they didn't pull that whole that card.
It's a little bit.
But
I'm kind of glad they didn't. It's not necessary.
But
I don't know. Did you feel like they needed to be a little bit more romantic?
But is that another safe horror trope? Oops, excuse me. Sorry. But say if horror has own tropes, action movies have their own trope. So if he never kisses her, then he can save her.
Was it ever real?
Well, if he kisses her, he can save her. But if he never kisses her, then he can't save her. Then she's just another person, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. If you're going to go like all the lines of the horror trope, like were they ever in love?
Yeah. I mean, she likes him a little bit at least because she saved him from the fucking cops.
I would assume so. Because if it were me, I'd be like, absolutely. No, I just said I would assume that she must like him a little bit.
Oh, I thought you were like, I don't like him. I wouldn't have saved him. I thought that's what you're like.
Oh, I wouldn't have. No. Not like, I'm sorry. You'd have to be a whole different level of hot for me to be like, okay, yeah.
You'd have to be a Jason Momoa level of hot for me to get the drop on cops and hold them hostage.
If it was actually Momoa himself, I would just be like, I would be so suspicious, though. I'd be like, how have you not taken care of this?
You're the action star.
Yeah. But like, yeah, so I'm a Momoa level guy, like, or like 6'4 and just like huge. And I'd be like, okay.
Is he 6'4? Like,
I'll help say Momoa. Yeah, he's 6'4.
Okay. All right, fair. So then they have a little bit of a tender moment, but no romance.
Yeah, I guess so. Yet. It is sweet. Like there is. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But then we fast forward to later in the night and Jim decides to get cleaned up again for the third time or for the second time. I can't remember what time he gets cleaned up because he's still covered in blood and dirt from earlier. This was like one of the creepiest shots. John
the
Ryder,
shower scene?
No, not the shower scene. Right after, John's already in the fucking room. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's been everywhere before. Like, so, like, why would you be surprised that he's here already? But like,
exactly,
he's just in the darkness.
I already assumed that he was there. I just was waiting for one of the. I thought he was gonna pop out of the shower. You know, that would have been a little bit gay, but nope.
But
if that would have happened, I would have maybe like thought there was a queer undertone here, but there isn't.
Oh, fair. Well, I mean, like maybe you got the queer undertone from like where he puts the penny on his eyes and they get really close and he grabs his face and they're like an inch apart.
Yeah.
And he licks the pennies.
But I just found it chilling.
Oh, 100%.
It's not chilling. Like I was not thinking like that. Again, that one dude, whoever said that, was clearly projecting.
Ebert. Fucking Roger Ebert. Ebert.
Roger Ebert just projecting. Yeah. Like
Oh, excuse me. But no, it's a super fucking creepy scene. Like
yes.
He goes to the bathroom, lights from passing cars come across the window and into the room, and then it reveals that John Ryder's fucking there. And I'm like, fuck me. That is scary as shit. Like, you are not fucking safe anywhere. Like, this guy.
No.
Who knows what the fucking this guy was in his fucking past life? You have no fucking idea.
Exactly. Yeah. No. The worst. That's all we know. And he's so creepy with Nash, too. Ooh.
But just like. Yeah, he's just like.
Because Nash obviously thinks it's Jim. Mm hmm. Right? Like, she's like, oh, yeah, because they did have a tender moment. And so it makes it even creepier.
Yeah,
he's
like,
spooning
her
in the bed.
Yeah, is Jim making a move? And then, like, she turns over and realizes it's fucking John. This creepy fucking scene, puts his hand over her mouth, end fucking scene cut. And then we get Jim cleaning up as he hears some noise from the outside and he realizes anytime he at this point, he learns to listen to his fucking instincts. And he knows something's fucking wrong. Tears the fucking towel rack off the wall and is ready to come out and fucking fight. And the door's open.
And I'm glad he did that.
Yeah.
Because I would have been pissed if you just walked out there and been like, Nash, you okay? Like, fuck off. You know what's going on at this point, dumb motherfucker. Like, so yeah, I'm so glad that he just pulled that, like, the shower rail off and was like, all right, time to kick some ass.
Well, fair, right? Because you can't be fucking dumbstruck at this point, right? Like, it's been a full 24 hours. 15 people are dead.
This man is harassing you.
Done. Yeah. One helicopter. Like, you ate a finger. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ate a finger, dude. Like, did you forget?
Fuck. So, and there's some great shots as he's going through the truck stop. Just some backlighting and fucking darkness and fucking mist. And then all of a sudden he comes across a fucking barrage of fucking cops. Who are already there.
I guess this truck stop.
What happened?
Yeah. I'm just saying, I do like the truck stop scene where he's walking through all the giant semi trucks.
Yeah, through the containers, they fucking look so good.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And then, yeah, apparently they got a hostage situation, and fucking Jim just fucking wakes up to it, like, "What's going on here?" Like, yeah, well, you were fucking sleeping. She's got your fucking girl. Sean's got your fucking girl tied up to a fucking truck.
Yo, exactly. It's like he stole your girl. Right?
I was like, when I first saw this, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is fucking intense. Like, I've never seen this fucking setup, like, basically being quartered between a container and truck. Like, that is fucking gnarly. And I'm like, how are they going to get out of this one, Courtney? You know?
How are they going to get out of this? Yeah. I do want a little bit of an honorable mention as far as actor goes. Jeffrey DeMunn here and the end here with the cops, who famously, I think I always recognize him from The Walking Dead, early Walking Dead seasons like 1 and 2. Yeah, Mist. He's like one of the sheriffs here at the end. That's all. He's a quality guy.
Yeah. I was like wondering what I noticed him from. Like, he's mentioned.
Yeah, he's familiar. He's a very familiar piece. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So the cops are like, Jim, you got to go in there and you got to talk to him. You're the only one that can save her, because if we shoot him, the truck's going to roll and it's going to tear her in half, you know? So you got to do something. So he gets in there, and it's more of that tension building where it's just a lot of slow moments of Jim walking or creeping, and it's just fucking quiet, and it's just his fucking face, and he fucking does a great job with it.
He does. And it's like, here we go, Jim, here's your moment, time to put your big boy pants on. Like,
thank you.
No more being a kid. Like, you gotta fucking deal with this situation.
Like, the world, it's like, it's just like he's trying to teach him a lesson. Like, the world's a fucking ugly place, and if you're not fucking ready for it, like, they're gonna fucking eat you alive.
That literally is life, Edgar, as we both fucking know it.
Rutger Howard is life, and Jim is us.
He's dude, life throws shit at you because life ain't fair. Like, there is no fucking rules. You just have to deal with things as it's dealt. Oof. And unfortunately for Jim here, this is a really shitty set of cards, but you got to fucking deal with it.
I bet so many fucking people thought this was going to play out so fucking differently. Like,
yeah,
everybody thought he's going to shoot him and fucking like put his hand on the brake and he's going to save the fucking day. Yada, yada, yada. Like, there has to be like no way this is going to play out like it's proposed. Right. And
maybe we just figured it out. Maybe this movie is like low key just a meaning of like what life is.
Oh, it's a metaphor. 100%.
Like, it's a metaphor for just like, I hope you know that like life is just here to kind of fuck with you. That's not fair. Yeah,
it is a horrific metaphor for life. And like, it is obvious, but like, it is so well done. Like,
so well done.
Like, there is going to be some ugly things life throws at you, and you just got to fucking deal with it, and you can't fucking run away from it or go to the authorities. You're just going to have to handle it yourself.
You can try and run away from it, but it will eventually catch up to you. Literally. So sorry to break the news. Yeah. It will. Oh, God.
So Jim creeps into the bed of the truck. John's there just waiting for him, fucking sweaty, covered in fucking red light, because this is our fucking moment of tension. And he hands him the gun and he tells him, this time it's loaded. Like, you can't fuck this up. And he's just like,
are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just like, put the gun against my face right here between my fucking eyes and just fucking pull the trigger.
And he can't.
And he noticed. And then John gives him no fucking sympathy. He's like, you're not fucking ready yet. And he's just
And I like it. Like, you useless waste is what the line he says.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's fucking brutal, dude. And then we know what happens. Poor old Nash.
All we can do is we don't see it. No.
I like that we don't see it.
We don't need it. We just get a fade to
we
black.
We don't fucking need it. And you just get the,
And the sound of ripping.
Oh, gross.
Wait, not to mention
Nash gets ripped up. Sorry.
Before he says he calls him a useless waste, he takes the gun back. So Jim essentially gives fucking up and he just lets fucking Nash die, which the amount of guilt that he's got to be feeling, because that makes Nash, I think, 16 that Jim is responsible for.
Correct. And like, it's almost disappointing kind of all around, where it's like, dude, you couldn't even do it. You couldn't even kill the guy that's been fucking killing everybody.
This is the '80s, right?
It's like, the '80s. Exactly.
Like action movies. Like, what is it? Like, I looked it up. Like out of the top 50 movies on IMDb, 30 of them are the most famous ones had already played out by then. Right. Which the difference between like a horror movie and an action movie is, like, an action movie, our protagonist is the hero and it gives the hero the right to strike down whatever evil is taking place. Right. So,
right.
We revel in the action, right? Because like, they are good and they are bad. So then we want them to kill them. Right. But then here it's just like, it's not even a gray area. Like, yes. That's what's happening, good versus evil, or essentially, or neutral versus bad or evil. But, and everybody's like, yes, fucking shoot him. But it's a little bit of a gray area, but like, yeah, if I kill him, she dies. But if you don't kill him, she dies anyway.
Right. And maybe like another metaphor for life here, like, not everything is black and white like that. Like, yes, there is good and evil, but there are things that fall in between the line. Like, how do I make the correct decision, basically?
What would be the lesser of two evils?
Exactly. What's the lesser of two evils? Sorry, Goji. Oh my gosh, you crazy. Sorry, my dog is being ridiculous.
I totally thought the movie was over because it fades to black. I thought the movie was over and I was like, fuck me. Great. And then I realized like there's more, which I'm like, I don't know if I really needed this part.
I agree with you. I kind of wish it would have ended with kind of Nash dying, and then, but they did give us this like little end with the cops.
Yeah, because
him being arrested.
No, because like, all right, so like, let's rewrite it for a second, right? Like, let's say you don't have another 10 minutes of this movie, right? We just end it there. Nash gets torn in half. John Ryder gets arrested. It's still there. Everybody's at the truck stop. Fucking Jim is just sitting there behind in a cop seat or in an ambulance. The lights are fucking siren. He just sees that. I mean, John Ryder's already captured. That's it. You don't need anything else. Yeah. Like, he's going to spend the rest of his life in fucking jail. Jim is, you know, he's cleared of all fucking charges because they know it's been John the entire time. So like, what else would you need? But then again, you just have Jim. Even then, you have John just still alive, and which is still more horrific. Like, what if he gets out, right? Which you could have done.
Yeah. And oh my God. And I'm so sorry though, but like, when they let Jim in to like talk to him or whatever there, and he spits in his face, Jim spits in John's face. Mm-hmm. And then John just like puts it in his hands. Like, he doesn't like taste it or anything, but almost like rubs it on his face. I'm like, what a fucking creep.
100%.
Like, you want this guy alive? Why didn't you do it, you little weasel? Like, I'm like, I'm like mad at John now. I mean, at Jim.
Like, yeah. But like, also like, now you're super tough in front of all these fucking cops.
Yes.
And this guy's fucking tied down.
So like, I know. And that's what it made me mad at Jim then. Like, oh, you little bitch, in a way.
Yeah, sorry. 100%.
Like, dude, you little bitch. Like, now that all the cops are here and he has handcuffs on and he can't really get you, now you're going to be a tough guy. I hope you get murdered. I hope he finds you.
Which would happen.
Which it does.
Yes. It's a gnarly spit scene too. Like, it is fucking, but yeah, like the whole rubbing on it between his fingers. I did think he was going to like lick it or something like that, but I'm like,
ooh. That would have been gross. But, like if he would have licked it, that would have been nasty, but regardless, it's chilling and disgusting.
But I don't know what John's really thinking here at this moment though, as he's rubbing it though, but like, it does make me think like, yeah, he's, he's fucking lost it.
I think he's just so excited. He's like, oh, I can't wait to kill Jim now. Oh. That's what I got.
Or it was just like, oh yeah, maybe Jim's going to come find me. Maybe he knew it was going to play out. Yeah.
Maybe.
So then it also gave me very Joker, because like the same thing, Joker gets locked up, you know, Batman and whatever, they gets interrogated. So it kind of gave me that a little bit. Because John Ryder's giving the cops nothing.
Took something right out of this guy's book. We don't know.
Maybe.
Or maybe Jack Nicholson. Who knows? But Jack Nicholson is great at playing a cuckoo anyway.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
So they're going to take John to a corrections facility. They're going to take John to a corrections facility. And then they ask Jim if he needs a ride as the Jeffrey DeMunn. Yeah, DeMunn.
Yeah.
Is going to take him in the opposite direction. And then all of a sudden, Jim is just sort of figures out he figures out what he needs to do all of a sudden. Not that he didn't figure it out fucking 20 minutes ago, or at least in the last fucking act, but you know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fucking bonkers because, like I said, now we start to see, again, now we get a clear vision of fucking who John is as we get shots of John inside the fucking prison truck or prison bus. And all of a sudden he's able to fucking squeeze his hand through the fucking police cuffs. And mm-hmm. he fucking slashes the fucking cop's throat with the fucking cuffs and grabs the fucking shotgun. So he's a fucking one man action team, apparently.
Yeah. Like, no one learned a thing, but at the same time, no one knew that John was actually this like insane efficient killer this whole time.
Very efficient.
Yeah. So efficient.
Like, yeah, he takes out another fucking bunch of cops. What does that mean? What are we at, like 20 now?
God, how many people? You're right.
Yeah. I mean, how we could have kept a better count, but murdered? I think we're at 20, give or take one or two.
Rough count, about 20.
Yeah.
He's killed in a span of what, 2 days?
Yeah, now we're at least at a day and a half. Yeah, it's the next morning.
Day and a half now?
Yeah, unless... Mm. Yeah, it was nighttime when they're... I guess they were holding this guy overnight. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, this guy's very efficient at murdering people.
So then all of a sudden, like I said, Jim puts on his fucking big boy pants, but he decides to
a little too late, but I guess he does do it. Yes.
Well, cause now you're definitely getting arrested. He takes the cop's gun and then like before you
doesn't kill him, kicks him out, takes the truck
and goes after the bus.
Right. Like literally, I like how you said it. You're just like, it's weird that he like came to a little too fucking late when you're like, actually, I have a decision. I know what I need to do now.
You had the classic like damsel in distress, like literally like
Nash is dead, dude. Like you fucked up.
Yeah, you fucked up hard.
You fucked up hard. It's a little too late to be this like, I know what I need to do, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. Like you're angry, but yeah, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Nash is dead, but yeah, whatever.
Nash could still be here, you
all right,
dick.
Maybe we'll title the episode R.I.P. Nash.
R.I.P. Nash.
Yeah, yeah. She fucking believed in you, man. She fucking saved your life, and you didn't do the fucking same for her.
I mean, granted, they were all innocent. Like, everyone was innocent. But you put her in the position as the one, the person who actually fucking helped you.
Exactly.
Like.
So, I do like it how, like, Jim pulls up right to the prison truck as fucking John had finished murdering everybody and jumps out of the fucking bus.
Great timing. Oh, my God. Jim, you're here? I've just finished murdering these guys.
Like I said. Action movie.
Action. And love it.
And he fucking jumps through the fucking windshield and just says, hi, kid. Fucking spectacular. He presses the brake. Yeah. They're having a little bit of a standoff as it's Jim, a revolver, and then John and a shotgun.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, John is just... I mean, I do love the action scene too, the bus just going right off the road. There is, I mean, regardless, even if you're not a horror fan, if you're an action fan, man, this movie rules.
Oh, yeah. But I could have seen where it would have lost some people. Like you said, the girl's already dead. Like,
yeah, what are we doing? Like, yeah. So I do kind of believe that it kind of should have ended maybe with Nash dying and then just that's it. But nonetheless, I guess we get a one more standoff between these two so we can like see that Jim became a man.
Yeah, but
maybe.
But like I said, again, John's not giving Jim any choice, even though Jim chose to show up and catch up with John at this point.
Yes. Like Jim. Yeah. Like you said, like Jim chose like, all right, I got it. I guess I have to do this. I guess knowing that John would eventually escape to come after him regardless, I guess is what we're going after here.
Yeah. And maybe he's just like, yeah, well, I got to catch you before you catch me sort of a deal. Like it's the standoff. So John's fucking peppering the fucking cop car with fucking shotguns as Jim's just trying to turn the car on, and he eventually gets it on, fucking is able to fucking ram John off the fucking road as he fucking somersaults into the fucking sand dunes. And there is like, I guess there is some sort of, I think this is what Roger Ebert was talking about. Or it could have been Siskel. I don't know. One of the two famous critics was fucking doing some weird projecting, but Jim grabs a shotgun and sort of like tenderly caresses Rucker Howard's John Ryder's head and just has like a little bit of a moment and decides to walk away because I guess maybe he thinks he's dead.
Yeah, that was what I gathered.
Yeah.
But is that it? Where are we at?
No, I thought he was like, is it a caress? I'm just trying to see the caress real quick.
We're both like slowing it down. We're like, is it a caress? Like, like farewell, good sir. If this was a fun game of cat versus mouse.
Well done, sir. No, not well done. Well so done. Many people died because of you, Jim.
Yeah, dude, bro, like there are a lot of people dead.
I mean,
it's like I like the poke. Pokes are always fun. Poking a dead body with a stick. I've never seen a dead body other than at funerals.
I mean, like I said, I guess he gave him no.
I hope to never.
No.
Actually, I wouldn't say it's a caress. Okay, I reviewed the footage. I wouldn't say it was a caress. He does have the gun, like, kind of around his head, like, poking at him.
At first, it looks like he's just going to shoot him in the head and be like, yeah, fine, 100%. Shoot him in the fucking head. But then it's like,
why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? But, like, it's not very heroic. He's not up, you know? You're kind of shooting a man while he's down. Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, as we know, John gets the fuck up and then immediately Jim turns around right in the chest.
Yeah.
Well, two rounds?
He turns around and he throws his handcuffs and he just sort of smiles at him. And then that's where he decides to fucking shoot him twice. I'm like, you shot him once. He's dead. Then you shoot him again. Ooh, now he's really dead.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but I mean, this shot though, the shot of him walking back to the truck with the mountains.
Oh,
well
yeah.
Done.
Oh no. But
like
then,
that's gorgeous.
Yeah. Cause now he has like his, I guess he's fulfilled his sense of duty now. And he fucking looks real fucking tough. As he's killed the fucking bad guy. The thing he was supposed to do a while ago.
I know. Again, maybe we should call this RIP Nash because bro, you missed your moment. Like, I understand you did it, but like you didn't do it as heroic as you think you did.
Yeah.
People are dead.
And like, what do you think you think he would have said, told people that like, yeah, he gave me the gun and he told me to shoot him in the head, but I couldn't shoot him because Nash would have died. And then he took the gun back. You think everybody else would have been like, what the fuck you mean you had the gun? Like,
yeah,
but they could have seen that
moment.
Too. From the window.
In that, exactly. But in that moment, and with like, you just kill him and go, it was self-defense. Okay, that was still a thing in the 80s. Like, he came at me, I had nothing to do, I shot him. And then Nash would still be alive, right?
Yeah, which is kind of what I wanted to play out, like, in this last scene. I totally kind of wanted him to, like, catch up to fucking John Ryder and, like, I don't know, do away with the cop somehow, or and then just shoot him as he's handcuffed. That would have been fucking hardcore. He just like, you fucking shot a fucking helpless man, or you shot an unarmed man. And technically that's what he did right now too, which is,
yeah, it is.
He's probably still, I mean, like, what's like, well, what is he really looking at?
I just think it was a little less heroic than he thought it was.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I feel like Jim was like, yeah, I really did the right thing. And I'm once again, I'm like, well, it's a little too late, dude. Like,
a little bit. But still, John was probably
so cool.
Well, John was probably going to kill on more people. So he had to stop him eventually. So regardless, it's lesser two evils.
Regardless. Because, yeah. Like, he ended up killing him because he felt like he needed to. Like, that was his. He was supposed to. He was chosen to murder him. And he did. Because you're right. Like, John would have fucking got loose and went on his next way, wherever that, the next town he would have ended up and started more killing until he found the next person that he thought was worthy enough to kill him.
Yeah, fair. If he never caught up, fair. If he never caught up to Jim ever again. Because Jim's changing his fucking name. He's fucking moving to a big city. He's never getting in a fucking car ever again.
Yeah, Jim needs a psychiatrist. He needs a therapist. He needs a straitjacket. Yeah, there's a long healing journey for good old Jim.
Long healing, long road to healing.
Long road ahead of you, bro, because that like will fuck you up. You either become a serial killer or you do better, but that's a tough road.
Yeah. So we hope you guys enjoyed this conversation.
But I liked it.
No, I
liked this movie.
I'm rating it fucking 7 out of 10 half bodies of Nash, you know, like.
Yeah, I'll do 8. I really enjoyed it. Like, I will recommend this to people. Big, if you haven't, you need to. If you haven't, you need to.
If our enthusiasm for this movie hasn't already like got you like looking up this fucking movie, do yourself a favor and go watch this fucking movie. Like, I think you can hear it in our fucking voices that we are fucking giddy that we didn't get to make fun of, you know, like a B movie this time around, but we just got to fucking really just delve deep into a really good fucking movie, a fucking gem that just unfortunately just fell by the wayside, but it's fucking nihilistic and it's fucking gritty. And it's a subject matter I don't think I've seen tackled seriously or without being kitschy, over dramatic or heroic in any way, you know, because that's what action movies are. They're kitschy and they're heroic and they glorify this shit. But this, like, what do you do in that situation where you don't get to save that person, or you don't want to be the fucking hero, or you're just a fucking kid, you know? Like,
yeah. And that's why I think, like, rounding it off being like, I think it is a good metaphor for like life in general, where you have no idea what you're going to be dealt and you just have to deal with it.
Yeah. Cause moreover, like, what is it? What's Jim doing? He's going out on his own, right? He's literally going off to a new city to go live his adult life and just go find himself. And the first thing he comes across, fuck.
Yeah. The first thing that happens to him. And I'm like, I hope. You're just like, man, he's going to be a strong ass person if he makes it into his like 30s and 40s. He's going to be like, I've seen it all.
Or fucked up.
I've fucked up.
He saw some fucking battle. Yeah, 100%.
I'm doing 8 out of 10. I really enjoyed it. Highly recommend that every person watch it once. It's on Max right now. Go for it.
There you go. All right, guys. Tune in next time. We could do another road trip one. We just mentioned off a bunch of good ones that I didn't realize.
I mean, I feel like we could easily make fun of Joyride. I haven't watched it in a hot minute.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, yeah, I think we'll do Joyride. Fuck that. And then after that,
fuck it.
We're moving on to spooky season as we're going on to fall by then. Yay! And we're going Supernatural. So.
Oh, hell yeah. So we'll start doing some Supernatural for stuff. Spooky season. Yeah. Hell yeah. Love it.
We'll see what we dig up. Literally. Dun, dun, dun. Sorry. I see how many stupid horror puns you can put in this fucking thing. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later and have a good one.